Mad Radio, good morning. We have a lot to delve into this morning. It's going to be snowing outside and freezing rain, and school is closed and college is closed today. But we are working this morning. We are excited. A lot of football over the weekend. The Rockets got into a fight last night for, I guess, the second time in as many years.
Yeah.
And my first thought when I woke up this morning was, really?
Well, they didn't get in a fight.
They didn't actually get into a fight.
They had a locker room confrontation, which has become almost like that's what the Rockets do now. Except the last time the Rockets were in a locker room confrontation, Pat Beverly was playing for the Rockets.
Yes, now he's on the opposition.
I did have that thought because, you know, Beverly was on the bench last night. And it was very, for those of you that didn't watch or see or hear anything about this, because maybe you're battening down the hatches for the snow and the wind and the rain and all that. There was a very chippy contest last night, and it got extremely chippy in the fourth quarter when Blake Griffin may have intentionally rubbed up against D'Antoni after a non-goaltending call as he was running down the court. Then Trevor Ariza ripped the pants off of Blake Griffin, literally. I'm not saying anything. Like, this isn't a metaphor or anything. He ripped the pants off of Blake Griffin. Or tights or knee pad or however you want to describe it. And then after the game, as far as I can tell, two different contingencies of Rockets approached the Clippers locker room. At one point it was Ariza, Chris Paul, another couple of guys. And then there's another account of Clint Capella who showed up solo or something.
I guess
that was a weird description. Like, Clint Capella showed up and just kind of stood there waiting and then awkwardly left.
Well, Adrian Wojnarowski, who's the best in the business, was there last night at Staples Center. Here is his report on what took place after the game last night.
Four Rockets players, James Harden, Chris Paul, Gerald Green, and Trevor Ariza, literally breached the Clippers locker room, went through a back hallway that connects the Rockets locker room with the Clippers, got into the room. They were calling for Austin Rivers, Blake Griffin. Security got to them before there was any contact. The Clipper players saw them come in, I was told. They jumped up to their feet, but there was no physical confrontation. And while that was going on, Rocket center Clint Capella was knocking on the front door of the locker room.
It was a two-pronged attack.
He was not let in.
It was a two-pronged attack.
Two
they outflanked him.
He just couldn't get in.
They sent Clint.
I'll tell you what. Under Kevin McHale, they never would have had this kind of coordination. They wouldn't have a play called like this. They had all the exits covered. You had Chris Paul, with intimate knowledge of the facility, apparently guiding these guys almost like they were like Viet Cong in tunnels back in the Vietnam War. The enemy didn't even know where the hell they were. They were tunneling through the building, and they breached the locker room. There might be suspensions because of this.
Yeah, there might be. Here was Chris Paul, who came to the defense.
They actually made it into the locker room, right? This is what I was confused about. Capella had to wait outside. A female staffer opened the door and then shut it in his face. Because Capella's a polite dude. He's not going to bully his way through a female employee.
So we're going to hear from Chris Paul in a moment. But Ariza, Paul, Harden, and Gerald Green did breach the entrance of the Clippers locker room before they were removed, basically, or not allowed to proceed further by security. Here was Chris Paul on what happened last night.
I don't know. You know what I mean? We took our loss. You know what I mean? Tough loss. Get up out of here. You know what I mean? I think it's ice headed to Houston.
Weird story. Again.
Oh, there is ice. Yeah, they got to worry about the weather. They arrived late last night or early this morning before the really bad stuff hit.
So, again, Ariza, Paul, Harden, and Gerald Green joined them. Mm-hmm.
I don't like Harden being in the fray either. Like, Harden's right on the brink of coming back. You don't need to strain your hammy in some kind of locker room altercation. Austin Rivers was reportedly the real focus of their ire. Austin Rivers had apparently been talking smack the whole night, and if there's one thing you can't stand, it's almost like, okay, if Blake Griffin's going to talk smack, then Blake Griffin's going to talk smack, and you're going to go back and forth. But Austin Rivers, you can't stand for that, man. You can't. You can't. You just can't. You can't let Austin Rivers talk smack.
Okay, I got two thoughts for you this morning on this Rockets fight. Number one, if this had happened in the NFL, there would be a congressional investigation by Thursday and Friday. The pregame shows would be doing State of the Unions on everything going around in football. And in the NBA, this will be gone in 2 days.
Shouldn't Roger Goodell have handled this better before he knew what was happening at all?
Yes.
Yeah, all of that kind of stuff.
Second
What's
thought.
What's this mean for society? Trump would have weighed in by now?
Absolutely. Second thing. What are the Rockets doing? I mean, I mean the audience is not going to like me, but that's fine. This team is having a really successful season. Disappointing loss last night. They're getting their best player back either this week or early next week in James Harden. Like, what the Rockets? I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to go to the locker room of the Clippers. They're going to fight the Clippers. Who is that going to be good for?
Look, Mike. Just as remember when I had my last altercation in traffic, where I swear to you, 100%, I was not looking for a fight. I just had to explain to this driver why he was wrong, and yet he cowered in his vehicle, and he cowered in his F-350. Little man driving a big truck. I mean, he was actually a big guy in stature, little in spirit. But he cowered in his truck because he either was afraid or he knew he was wrong. I think likewise the Clippers. Chris Paul just wanted to say his piece to his former teammates. And Griffin, if Griffin hadn't cowered in the locker room, then perhaps a conversation could have been had. But he sat behind his handlers because, unless you're an equipment manager, whoever the hell it was, what does Blake Griffin do? Who does he beat up?
The equipment managers.
Yeah, Blake Griffin's really adept at beating up 70-year-old head coaches on the sideline and equipment managers. But if you're a group of NBA players, he wants nothing to do with you. He's going to hide behind his handlers.
Am I being too harsh on the Rockets, though? I just think the goal...
No, of course not. Why? Okay. All right. Why would you be afraid? Mike, why would you even apologize for the audience being mad at you before you say, hey, guys, you're trying to win a championship
here. You're trying to win a championship.
You're trying to at least get to the conference championship. Don't be confronting people in locker rooms
it's
after
stupid.
The game. And a lot of, like, Chris Paul loses in this scenario because they're deeply in his head. Now, like, this is Chris Paul who's playing his former team for the first time. They do a nice montage of Chris Paul highlights and everything. He gets a reception from the crowd, but can't let it go after the game. And you go into the old locker room, dude, that's psycho ex-girlfriend stuff.
Yes.
That is some crazy-ass stuff. You're stalking her on Facebook, man. I'll say psycho ex-boyfriend stuff. This is, that's weird, man. You got to stay the hell out of it. It's not a good look for you, Chris Paul. Which has nothing to do with on the court or what Chris Paul has brought to the team or anything. Just put the blinders on and focus.
And I don't even know if I blame Chris Paul specifically. It's just the whole situation. I have to tell you, if I am Daryl Morey, if I was Tillman Fertitta, I don't want to hear reports of my team about five different guys showing up to the Clippers locker room. Basically, none of the guys who I can lose, except for Gerald Green, I suppose.
Plus,
I'm trying to win.
The reports out of the guys, too, is like, oh, they were talking a lot. They were talking too much. It was too much talk. Like, talk?
This is the
Are
NBA.
Are we talking about talk?
It's the NBA.
You know, maybe if you're sticking up for D'Antoni, if Blake Griffin... I didn't see all the different angles of it. Did Blake? How much of a brush was it of Blake Griffin up against Mike D'Antoni?
I mean, Mike seemed very put off by
whatever
Blake did.
But it looked like Griffin was doing intent. Like, Griffin was running down the court pointing at D'Antoni. Like, as if to point out to the officials, he's on the court. And then he brushed up against them. And then D'Antoni, to his credit, and frankly, I'll take D'Antoni straight up in a fight against Blake Griffin at this moment. I would. D'Antoni's scrappy. Blake Griffin, I don't know.
I like Mike.
Him in his little gator arms.
I agree that Mike is probably scrappy.
D'Antoni's probably got better reach. I think D'Antoni has better reach than Griffin in his tiny little alligator arms.
And for those of you just waking up, the situation we're describing is the Rockets falling to the Clippers last night, 103-102. But that's not really the story, because of five different players showing up at various points inside and outside the Clippers locker room after the game. The D'Antoni-Griffin thing we're discussing now basically is late in the game, after a goaltending no-call, Griffin is running down the court, pretty close to the sideline. D'Antoni is abnormally close to the court on the sideline, like right near the center line.
Yeah.
And apparently they brushed up against each other. And I guess I couldn't see it. I agree. I looked at a few angles this morning, and I couldn't see Blake Griffin actually make contact
with
Mike.
But he intentionally did it, though, is the important thing. Like, Griffin got to the point where he ended up running out of bounds after the contact with D'Antoni because he intentionally did it. So Griffin being a little passive-aggressive himself, and again, later cowering in his own locker room. But I will say this. There's one really encouraging thing of all this. Clint Capela got involved, Mike. The Swiss, typically neutral. Not now. Not
typically
this time.
Neutral, yes.
Clint stepped out. He said, there's a fray. I'm joining in. I'm ride or die with my homies. I'm not none of this Swiss neutrality BS.
Why is Patrick Beverley now claiming all of a sudden as if Los Angeles is now some kind is now known for some toughness as a basketball city or team?
What's he saying?
He tweeted, "It's a different culture here in LA. No more soft bleep here." 5 exclamation points.
Well, he's saying there's no more. It's a different culture now on the Clippers.
Different
culture. With the addition of Pat Beverley and Sweet Lou Williams.
They're the ninth seed.
Lou Williams, known for his tough, scrappy play.
It was all going so well for the Texans this weekend. Long term, until this happened early Monday morning. Headline 6:30. This is Matt Radio.